thing I promise you. And if you like to follow, turn to the book of Acts. I this week, as I was preparing this, had some thoughts, and so we put them on paper, and we'll try to endeavor to bring them to you. Praise God. Good again to have all of you. Amen. They're not Athens anymore. They're Grove people, right? She's looking at me. Y'all live in Grove now, don't you? Fairland. Okay, you did live. She lived at Grove, right, at one time? Grandma lives in Grove. Okay, Grandma, good to have you. Thank you for being here. Praise God. Bless you. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Father, today we bless you. Thank you that we are serving a risen Lord. Father, I pray today that you would open our hearts to the reality in serving you. Father, that it is the best choice that an individual could ever make. Father, I pray that you would bless your people, and the resurrection would become such a reality, lodged in their mind and into their conscience, that they'll never forget that day that you arose from the dead. And now you are seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Father, one day I feel within my spirit, which will be soon, that we shall hear the sound of the trumpet, and we will arise to be with you. Thank you, because you live, we get to live. And Father, we bless you now. I pray that you would anoint these words that will be spoken in thy name. Amen and amen. As I thought about this, what kind of title was I going to put on this? And I thought, 40 days that changed history. 40 days that changed history. In the wake of Calvary, mankind's most sad hour, my friend, and believe me, it was a sad hour in that day when Christ died upon that cross, because we know that the disciples and all that followed him thought that he was going to set up his kingdom here on this earth at that time, and they were going to come up among the oppression of the Roman government. My friend, it was a sad day for them, but I got good news. I read a little bit further, and I know the end. And then all of a sudden, my friend, came Easter, the day that you and I are celebrating today. It's history's most magnificent happening, because if it had not occurred, you and I would not have the privilege today of celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was a story that would stir the world. And believe me, my friend, it, sir, the world has no other story that has ever been told. A story that never grows old. It is exciting to me to be able to share with you this morning about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to try to picture with me this morning as I try to relate what took place during this 40-day period of time. Now, late on the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, the woman whom Jesus had cast seven demons out of, and the other Mary came to look at the grave of Jesus. Now, I'm going to read the account to you this morning. It's found in Matthew chapter 28. If you want to turn there and follow, and I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Here is what it says. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone, and he sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and because they became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women that came that morning, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who had been crucified. He is not here. Aren't you glad that he's not there today? For he has risen just as he said. And they said unto the women, come and see the place where he was lying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you shall see him and behold him as I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And they said, behold, Jesus met them. Now, I love that statement there. Those three words, I love them. Jesus met them. This same Jesus who was only days before was beaten and tortured and placed on a Roman cross to die. Oh, I got good news for you this morning. But now he lives again in glorified form. And his countenance as the sun, shining in his strength this morning. The activities of this 40-day period were carefully documented throughout the Word of God. We find it was a fact that after being beaten, mutilated, and executed, then buried and sealed away, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I believe you missed a good opportunity to shout there, because he arose from the dead. You see, in the whole story of our Lord, the single most important event is the resurrection. Did you hear what I said? It is the resurrection. Take away this fact of the resurrection, and Christianity becomes nothing more than another earth's creed that seeks to pull man up by his own bootstraps, my friend. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God that we're living for a God that is alive today and is well. You see, it is the resurrection that gives our faith its dynamic and divine unction. My friend, it builds my faith to know that a man that one time died, he said before his death, I will arise. I will come forth on the third day. And thank God that third day has come. And today you and I celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see, our Christian faith stands upon this rock of history that we have in the writings of the gospel. All four gospel writers, as well as the Apostle Paul, gave you and I the Easter story, the names of those who saw him after his triumph over death are carefully recorded. And it may be said, my friend, that the historical evidence for the resurrection is stronger than for any other miracle anywhere narrated in the Word of God today. And the Apostle Paul, he stressed the reasoning for it is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 14 states these words, if Christ be not risen, this is our preaching, then our preaching is all in vain. There would be no reason for me to preach today. There would be no reason for you and I to be here today. Paul said, if he be not risen, then our preaching, our delivering, and our giving out of the gospel would all be in vain. But thank God today, I got good news to bring to you today that he's alive, he's well, and he's a living today for you and I, and he lives in us. You see, it has been well said that the true symbol of the church is not the cross. I do not take anything from the cross. It had to be. We know that. We know that the Word and the Scripture had already prophesied that he was going to come, and he was going to be born of a virgin, and he was going to have to die on a cruel, rugged cross. That is fulfillment of the Word of God. But my friend, I'm here to tell you the symbol of the true church is not the cross, but rather it is an empty tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the story. And it is this glorious reality that you and I celebrate on this first day of the week. Aren't you glad that he is alive today? Jesus, as we look at the story, we know how that there came a time right after his crucifixion, after he was revealed to a servant. We know how that he gathered up all of his blood that was spilt there at Calvary, and he took it back and presented it to God the Father, and the Father was well pleased in it, and because of that, you and I can know him in a free pardon of sin. But I find Jesus did not immediately return to the Father following his resurrection. See, Luke emphasized there, as I read to you, that the next 40 days he was extremely busy showing himself to many. Now, he had already been back to the Father and back, and he came back and forth from heaven to earth on many occasions. Now, we find that earth could never again function normally after the blush of those magnificent post-resurrection appearances that he appeared. Now, Christ showed himself alive to his followers. The resurrection was not mere hearsay. Did you hear what I said? A lot of them don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe that we're serving a living God today. They think somebody stole him away. But I'm here to tell you, nobody stole his body. He arose from the grave, and today he wants to live in our hearts and our lives. Yes, Christ showed himself alive and well to his followers. The resurrection, my friend, is real. It's validated today in the Word of God. The physician Luke documented the story with what he called many infallible proofs. You remember I read that to you in the scriptures, that many infallible proofs among those eyewitnesses that saw him on this period of 40 days after the crucifixion. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden. They appeared to the women returning from the tomb. Later that same day, he came to Peter. And Dr. Luke told us of Christ's dramatic appearing to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. Wasn't that an exciting? Those guys had been there all this period of time, had seen the crucifixion, and they remained. But now their hopes are dashed. And my friend, there was no more hope. The man that they had confidence that was going to raise up a kingdom, now he lays in the tomb. Ah, but as they made their way to their home about 8 miles away, they're walking along that path, and it was getting dark. A little late in the evening, all of a sudden there was a figure that appeared with them and began to converse with them. And he began to ask them, what are you guys talking about? We had great hopes because you see this man called Jesus. We thought he was going to rear up a kingdom, and maybe we would have some part in that kingdom. And Jesus began to converse with him. And my friend, when they invited him in to eat, my friend, all of a sudden he disappeared. And they said, did not our hearts burn? Oh, I'm here to tell you, heart burns when Jesus lives inside of you. And we see how that they ran back to the city and began to proclaim that they had seen the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! Hallelujah! Oh, glory. Then Jesus spoke to the remaining disciples when Thomas was absent. Do you remember that account? Jesus showed himself to the disciples, but Thomas was absent, like a lot of people are today. They're absent. I just had to throw that in. You see, still later, again, he manifested himself to them when Thomas was now present about 8 days later. Even he, Thomas, was overcome with the truth of the resurrection as he fell at Jesus' feet, crying out, my Lord and my God, oh, forgive me. Now my eyes has behold him. And who can forget that morning when Jesus appeared to the fishing followers on the Sea of Galilee, just as the sun slipped through the pink above bluffs of Golan, my friend, our Lord even prepared a good meal for them that morning. He cooked breakfast for them. What other company ever had such a glorious meal? We've never had it, my friend. If Jesus prepares the meal, and one day we're going to sit down with him, and we're going to have that a communion again with him. My friend, we're going to have supper with him. We're going to eat with him again. Then our Lord spoke to more than 500 believers on a mountain in northern Galilee. And of course, there was the ascension itself when Christ pitched the yoke of gravity. Oh, I like that. When Jesus pitched the yoke of gravity and entered the clouds over the Mount of Olives, where the disciples and other believers were in attendance. Aren't you glad? Gravity's the only thing holding me here right now. Did you hear what I said? Gravity is the only thing that's holding me down. If God will lift the gravity, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going out of here, Jack. Hallelujah. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Praise God. Gravity's not going to have no power over us. But we find, still later, following that dramatic 40 days, Jesus appeared to Paul just outside of Damascus, then to Stephen, and also then again to Paul in the temple. And then the day in Revelation, it talks about John that was on the Isle of Patmos for his testimony about God. My friend, he appeared to him. His hair was white like snow. His eyes as flame of fire. And the voice like many going to shout if somebody don't. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a good hand. I'm going to have to start telling you like Peggy does. Give the Lord praise in the house of God. Hello. Amen. What a parade of witnesses. Talking about eyewitness news. My friend, and notice this. To all of these reports, Jesus' enemy gave no reputation to it. Why not? Why didn't they? They said it's a hoax. It's a joke. He's a fake. He's not real. He is not a king. You know what? If those unbelievers could have produced Jesus' dead body, the Christian church, my friend, right now would have been snuffed out right there and then. It would have been over with. It'd been done if they could produce the dead body. But I've been there to that tomb. He's not there. I said he's not there. I said he's not there. Hallelujah. I see him at a slab that they laid him on. But he's not there. Glory to God. You see, the silence of Christ's enemies is proof of the resurrection, as the apostles witnessed and gave us record of it in their writings. But here is the most delightful fact of all. This resurrected Jesus Christ is still appearing to men and women today. Did you hear what I said? He appeared unto all of them, but today is still appearing to you and I. He comes to us in his glorified body and spirit. You can meet him yourself when we pray in just a few moments. My friend, you can meet him. You can know him. You can sense him. You can feel him. You can feel the joy bubbling in your soul when your sins are washed away, taken out, and cast into the sea of death of forgetfulness. Oh, God. And just as he dramatically impacted life long ago in Judea and Galilee, so he will change. I believe that he can. I believe he will change your whole being today. You'll have a different perspective on life. I'm here today when Jesus walks into the life of an individual, he turns that individual around, and that individual is not a drug addict any longer. He is not a dope head. He's not an adulterer. He's not a fornicator. My friend, he's not a murderer. He's not a cheat and a liar. I thought that was good preaching myself. That's what Jesus does for you. Because I was all of those things that I said. But today, I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not what I'm going to be. Because I'm still working on it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I understand some people don't understand why I get excited. Praise God. But I know where I came from. I know where I've been. I know what he's done. But more important than that, I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. You see, so we find, how does he do this? By taking up actual residence within you. He lives in us. We may not be able to see him. We may not be able to touch him with a physical hand. But I know one thing. He lives in here. Amen. I said he lives in here. He lives in my heart. He lives in my life. His spirit directs me. His spirit guides me. His spirit teaches me. His spirit one day is going to lift me up out of this world. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and verse 11 says, but if the spirit of Christ lives in you and is in you, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. And you shall. I said you shall. I said you shall rise. Glory. God, I I don't know why we can't get excited about the resurrection. Amen. You see, Christ actually lives in you. That's where his rightful place is. On the throne of your heart. He wants to live in you. This is what Paul says in Colossians 1 and 27 when he states Christ in you, the hope of glory. My friend, I have hope in this life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, if I only have hope in this life, I am of all men most miserable. But my hope is not anchored here. My hope is not here in this life. My hope is in the life that is to come. My hope is in him. Now, let's continue. Maybe you won't get out early. The disciples encountered the resurrected Christ during those 40 days. But I ask the question, have you encountered him during your days? Have you encountered him? That is the question that you must answer. Christ had fellowship with his disciples following his resurrection. He communed with them. What a sweet word communion is. I love communion with Christ. I love fellowshipping with Christ. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather fellowship with him than you. I'm just honest. Praise God. And you should feel the same way about it. You see, there had always been, as we look at Jesus and his disciples, there had always been a bond of love between Jesus and his disciples. But before the resurrection, the men had been so fearful. At times of crisis, their heart would begin to melt. Because we found them behind closed doors even after the resurrection. And Jesus just happened and said, boys, I don't need a key. I don't need a doorknob. I'm just going to walk in. Hallelujah. He just walked right in there. See, but no longer do they feel that way. The reality of the risen Christ repelled the fear, and the fellowship from now on would be so complete and so fulfilling that nothing could sever such a love bond that they would have one with another. And that relationship, my friend, still holds today. There are those who will say, how much can I sin or dabble in the world and still be saved? Oh, I've had that question thrown at me many times. How close to the world can I get and still be saved? You really want me to answer that? I don't have enough time. You see, I simply do not have an answer to give to them when they ask that question. I can't tell you how close you can get to the world and still have God living in you. But the cry of a true believer heart is, how close to my Lord can I come? Not how far I can get away from him and still hold on to him. I'm here to tell you, friend, we need to be running to him. We need to be nestling up to him. We need to allow him to love on us and not see how close we can get to the edge. I'm here to tell you some of the roads in Colorado that you will go around, my friend. I don't see how close that I can get to the edge without running off of those things, because it's a 12,000 foot drop. You know what I try to do? I hug the center line as close as I can. And when there ain't no car, I hug the side of the mountain. Hello? Oh, some of you looking at me strange. You see, friend, we need to see how close we can get to God. The disciples were the first to experience the gift of fellowship with Jesus. But you and I continue at that happy practice today. Did you hear what I said? We can have it every day. We can have it 24 hours a day if we can stay awake long enough, and we'll just do it in our dreams anyway. You see, it is no burden. It is no burden to live the Christian life. Hello? But a lot of people feel like it's a burden. It is rather a happy privilege that we get to share in. Hallelujah. Beloved, now are we, you and I, the sons and the daughters of God. Right now, right where we are, the resurrected Christ lives and wants to live in our hearts. During those 40 days, Jesus forged his disciples into the spiritual steel that formed the early church, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For 3 years, he had taught them so patiently. I run out of patience like that. Poor Peter, every time he turned around, he got a 9.5 stuck in sideways in his mouth. He taught them so patiently. I only wear an 8.5, and sometimes I get a 12 lockjawed in. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and the rest of you won't admit it. You see, taught them so patiently the principles of character so pertain to their calling. You say, boy, I'm glad I don't have a call. Oh, you're wrong, honey. You're wrong, because every one of us has been called. Every one of us here this morning has been called, because you cannot stand or do not stand behind the pulpit because you may not be a teacher. You've still been called. God has called you, and he has worked patiently with you. He has dealt so tenderly with you and so loving with you at times when you have been so unlovable, as Shirley said, and I believe her. We're all unlovable. Be a matter of fact, hang around me a while and you don't think I'm very lovable now sometimes. Especially Buck. But, you see, 3 years he worked with them, shaped them, taught them, molded them. But somehow, just like it is today, it did not take. Somehow it did not take. Those 3.5 years that he worked with the disciples, somehow it did not take. They were, my friend, they were constantly falling down. Don't none of us ever fall, do we? They were failing their assignment, making crucial mistakes. I'm the only one that makes mistakes. I am. I'll agree with you. Oh, some of you are honest. Some of you are not. So, what is it, the saying they have? To be an OU Sooner? What is it about proud? Huh? Don't they have a saying, or is it OSU? Hard to be humble. There's the man. Y'all caught the man. He said it. It's hard to be humble. Praise God. You see, here's what happened, and it happens today. It was almost a matter of playing church, as children do. You know, when children get together, especially out here in children's church, they have a blast. They play. They have fun. You see, but now, my friend, following the resurrection and dwelled with the living Christ, they no longer played church. They were the church. You and I are the church. Did you hear what I said? That's anointed handkerchief from 1997 with the dove on it. Came from Brownsville. Y'all better look out. Hello? I was having fun. We're only going around once. You see, and I'm here to tell you, the very gates of hell could not prevail against them. It is not enough for parents and teachers and pastors to teach children to go to church. We must train them to become the church. Oh, what a difference in those two positions, my friend. Hello? Go to church or be the church. Are you aware that being a part of the church is far more than signing a card? Are mouthing a vow and playing a part involves much more than that. The church of the living God is more than a mere stage of self-created players. The church is Christ's body. His resurrected, my friend, life. Being is God working out his divine plan through yielded and empowered vessels of humanity. The Apostle Peter, before the resurrection, could be subdued by a little maid mocking him in Caiaphas' courtyard. You remember how when she said, "You're one of his." I don't know that dude. Who is that? Haven't ever seen him before. And another one came along. I don't know him. And a third one came along. He said, "I'll just foolproof this thing. I'll just start cursing." Hello? But the same Peter now, drawing from the resurrected life of Christ within him, would stand triumphant and unshaken before the might of Rome now. Peter too had came alive as his Lord had come alive. I love it because Christ lives. You and I live also. And so does any man or woman who lets Jesus enter their life. They become new creatures and find out what divine living really is all about and what it means. 40 days that shook history of the world. But those 40 days live on in the heart of the believer. For it is the same Christ revealing himself to us as he did to the Galileans, communion and fellowshipping with us and forging us into the living church that will one day be raptured and to his presence. And I'm convinced beyond a doubt this morning that this Christ is standing at doors today. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door, and I knock." You have the power to either open or close that door. But he said, "If you will open your heart's door, then I will come in, and I will sup with thee, and you with me." God is knocking, friend. God is knocking at hearts here today. And what you do could be for time and eternity. If you make the wrong decision and you get caught unexpectedly like those five did in Tulsa a couple of days ago, thank God they said on the news they caught them, the guys that did the shooting. Random shooting. I don't know if it was or not. But three of them lays in the morgue today. Think about it. That car may take a wild right or a wild left. One. We don't know. I can read in the paper where 16-year-olds kills over with a heart attack too. Are you with me? Christ is knocking. He wants to become the light of your life. He wants to become the source of your life. And friend, it's up to you to make the decision, because now He wants to live in your heart. He wants to become alive.